When you remember your grandparents at all? Do you remember
them? I don't remember my paternal grandparents. I didn't have any paternal grandparents. They were both my father's mother and father died before he was 17. They were Manx. Came from the Isle of Man.
Now where is that?
That's between England and between Scotland and Ireland.
Uh-huh.
He always claimed the Irish side. They could have claimed he'd been either Scotch or Irish. He always claimed the Irish side.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether the rest of them did or not, but anyway, they did. But they settled in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a little kind of a colony of Manx, which his grandfather was a little leader.
Mm-hmm.
And they had taken their sections of the grandfather and then the three sons and so forth. And all this. But after my grandparents died, my father didn't stay.
In Iowa.
He left and went into railroading and was in the Pacific Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
Now my mother, on the other side, my grandfather, but they came to California from Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was born in Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
I was lived 15 years there. Isn't that interesting? Okay,
yeah.
Well, that doesn't matter.
It is kind of interesting because lots of people don't even know where Oshkosh is. She was born in Oshkosh, and they came out here, and she was about 2 years old. She was next, there were 9 children in my family, and she was, I guess there was one more following in Oshkosh when they all then came up. Now, they settled in Sacramento. And the stories that they tell about the early days of Sacramento.
This would be about what time?
Let's see. My grandfather came out first. I think he came. Let's see. Must have been about 60. Around 69 or 70, 71, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He came out of there. And then he came out a long time and got settled. And then my grandmother came. When they came across on the train, my grandmother with these, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 little kids, they came on one of these trains that you did your own cooking. They set one car aside and you brought your food with you and then you cooked it every day. Yeah. It was fascinating to hear
about. They told you these stories?
Oh, yeah.
About
and
how
they got, and then they got some letters, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Were they Methodists all along?
No.
No.
We were Congregationalists. My father was, my mother was family, were all Congregationalists. They were members of the Pioneer Congregational Church of California. Came down here and we were members of the Congregational Church and then carried it on down to San Diego. No, my mother was, we always said, you know, they always called a lot in those days. We always said, when mother and dad went calling, they always came back and dad always knew what political party the new people belonged to and mother always knew what church they were.
And the ground covering it.
But it's not to say that my father wasn't religious, but he was not a Mormon. And all of the ministers that were ever associated with our church or anything were always very different to my father.
Mm-hmm.
But I always come.
So your grandparents
settled in the Sacramento area.
Yes, my family.
And then your father also was there.
Yeah.
And that's where, is that where you grew up then?
No. Well, then they came.
They were young. This was back in their time.
They came. Yeah. Then they came when they were married.
They met there in Sacramento.
Yeah. My uncle was on the railroad. A friend of my father's up to the time they decided to get married when the friendship broke. But anyway, so then they came to Los Angeles.
Now they're married.
Yeah, and they settled in Los Angeles, and they came in 92.
Mm-hmm. To Los Angeles?
They came in Los Angeles in 92, and my father was mixed up in practically everything that went on in Los Angeles for a long time.
Well, he was with the railroad.
He was in the railroad up to the time of the railroad strike. And I think that was in about 94, was before I came to town.
Mm-hmm.
And then he never went back. He was an officer who did the strike.
Mm-hmm. So he was involved in the union
Was it for better wages that they were striking?
Oh,
I suppose better wages and conditions, working conditions as much as anything. The length of time that people had to be on a train and all those kind of things.
And as a result of his involvement, he expired or he quit?
Well, he would never go back.
He felt very bad about it.
Of course, most of the other officers had been arrested in jail, and he always was in the wrong place. The people that were with him, the other officers of that union, as I remember Dad telling us, were Doheny and a man by the name of Coon, that was afterwards the owner of a lot of the movie theaters here in Los Angeles.
They were
president and vice president, and Dad was the secretary.
Of the union?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, somehow or other, whenever they were out after him, they missed him. They never caught him somehow.
What was his name?
Moore. Wendy Moore, they called him. So that he just wouldn't go back after that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's out of that kind of a very restrictive, puritanical, maternal side, a very liberal. My father was before they were Democrats, they were populists.
Populists. So your mother and your father were very different.
Very different.
Politically different. Your mother was interested in the religious,
very
and your father in the political.
Very, very different.
Mm-hmm.
My mother raised in a very rigid, strict, her father died when she was about 12, and my grandmother raised those kids. She raised them by herself. And then she had an older brother. One of the firm things that they believed in, the girls never worked outside of the home.
Sewed in the home. And she kept, she brought in funds and money by selling.
My grandmother did. She was an expert. And she did all the fine sewing for the very wealthy people in Sacramento.
That's how she did.
Yeah, that's how she did too. And then this older sister, my mother's older sister came along, she helped, and then my mother came along, she helped.
Did your mother carry that philosophy pretty much too of staying in the home?
Oh, well, most all of them did at that time.
Yeah, I think so.
But then later she didn't, because then later she always said that she had to push me and hang on to my sister. So the two of them melded. My father and mother very nicely. They complimented each other very nicely.
What were some of the ways they complimented?
Well, mother believed that almost anything my father had to say about social issues or most anything was gospel. She didn't have to worry about it. She said it because that was all right. But economically, budget-wise, come up together. She didn't take his word for anything. Because he never knew where anything was. You know. So she took over that. But he money and my father, it wasn't good for anything except to spend or loan to your friends, or what good was it if you could help friends out, you know. And that got a little tiresome as far as my mother was concerned, because she said, your daughters need music lessons and they need this and that and the other. So she complimented. So they complimented themselves very nice. They complimented themselves in other ways. My mother was a member, a charter member of the Wednesday Morning Club, which was started out as a Shakespearean club. And they complimented themselves nicely because they read out loud to each other. And they read all of these Shakespearean plays.
They were both interested in Shakespeare.
Well, they were interested. They were interested in the same thing. They read lots of it. I can remember hearing any of these things vaguely when I got into older adults so that I could go to school and I had to do book reports. Well, lots of them were just thick soup for me because I could remember the beginning and the end and part of the middle and, you know, I didn't have to do too much research on it. But, so they did both the ways. Now, when it came to going to the Shakespearean play, my father would come home with a ticket to Raleigh and say, here are the tickets for the play that you wanted to go see. I'll stay home with the kids. And the kids were myself and the child of whoever it was, the other woman that the mother was going to go with. He didn't want any of that.
So he bought the tickets for your mother and her friend to go.
Yeah, you know, and he'd do the same thing with opera. He wouldn't go near an opera. But he knew mother wanted to go.
But he'd take care of the children.
But he'd, sure, yeah, that was no problem at all.
What kind of work was your father involved in after the railroad?
First he went to work after the railroad. The first thing he did was to go to work at the Warehouse, which was then a privately owned company. And he and Mulhall, Lambert, Mulhall Fountain and the Mulholland Dam and bringing the water from the Owens Valley were both in the water company. And Dad stayed with that for part of the Holland. He and the Holland were very good friends. And then he left that one in insurance business. And he was in charge of business. So we left about two, we left Los Angeles to get into government service. But that was his early day was all in the water company, the conservation of water. My mother and I were embarrassed many a time because he'd see people's water running down the street, he'd just go up and turn it off. You know, we love to waste water. So, never bother about educating them, just turn them off. So, it was an interesting period. It was an interesting period, and they had lots of very interesting friends.
Did your dad keep involved in the political issues?
Oh, yeah,
he was involved in the water.
Always.
What were some of the other issues that he
One of the other issues was the scandal of the outfall sword. Now, I don't remember what time that was. I don't know if that was before 1910 or after 1910. I don't remember. But that had place in an uproar for a long time because there was, what do we call them there, the chief engineer committed suicide and the beaches. But that was one of the scandals of early Los Angeles, the building of the Eiffel Sword. What they had done was to advance money farther and farther. When it got to the end, the money was all gone. The contractors had used it. So it was some of those contractors, the chief engineer, and I don't remember how, but it was quite a deal. Whether everybody got in on all the details like we did or not, I don't know. Dad was terribly upset about that because that was supposed to be something that was really for the benefit of the city of Los Angeles.
And they wasted away all the money.
They wasted the money away before.
So your dad probably was very upset about that.
Yes.
And of course, he knew some of the contractors, I guess, some of them were involved in it, and some of them had helped out with it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one of the big contractors, a man named Leonard, lived in St. James Park for a long time. The dad knew quite well. And I think he was one of those that helped Crowbird or something.
Small water region.
Yeah.
Do you remember what, at that time, where did you live and what was it like?
Oh, we lived, well, let's see. It's kind of interesting. When my father and mother were married, and they came to Los Angeles, the big hotel where they stayed was down where, across from what's now Chinatown, and close to what's that restaurant that's down there, that Italian, Little Joe's. It's been taken down now, but it stood for a long, long time. And then we moved out to...
Were you there when they lived in the home?
Oh, no. They only lived there for a while. Then they moved. I don't remember where they were next. I suppose I know, but I don't remember. But when I was little, we lived out in the area, you know, where the Asbury Methodist Church is. Well, we lived out in that area. We were congregations.
This would be the early 1900s?
Yeah, this would be before 1912, I think. We moved out to Brazil Park last year. Elementary school. So it was probably before 1912.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we lived in that area for quite a long while. And my mother was mixed up in with a woman by the name of Lizzie Pryor, who is notorious for having helped to organize the PTA. And she and mother were very close friends. And they bought the library out there.
Mm-hmm.
They worked on getting the library built in that area, and it's still there. Last time I went over to the Asbury Church, I went around to look to see. It was still there. And the Wednesday Morning Club is in that area. And that was a big influence, because that was the part of the cultural kind of education that girls were supposed to have. It was all these sections, you know, and then they would give dance. In a very restricted sort of atmosphere with all of the chaperones and so on and so forth.
Was that not within this Wednesday morning?
Yeah, that was part of it. But if it wasn't there, it was someplace else. That was the kind of...
Tell me a bit more about that Wednesday morning club. Your mother was a charter
member. Yeah, she was a charter member. As I say, it started out as a Shakespearean club.
Mm-hmm.
And the minister's wife of the Congregational Church, the one that started. Then it still stands, it's out there. Somebody was telling me something about going to something at the Wednesday Morning Club not too long ago. But it's still there. Then it branched into all of these various sections, similar to Anita Opera. It was a self-improvement club, I would recall. So those were the kind of...
And these were women?
Oh, women.
All
yeah,
women?
All women. From all around. But it never rivaled the Friday Morning Club or the E-Bells, but it was...
What would a Friday Morning Club be?
Well, the Friday Morning is a big women's club that's got on the year old, still staying.
Oh.
It's the largest. And it wasn't so much of a sectional study as it was bringing in lectures and all that kind of thing.
So it's a bit different than the Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
Where
yeah, it was a little bit different.
Would they mostly talk to each other then, the women? Or?
Oh, they, you know. Well, I think they just listened and went home. Right.
It was a chance for them to meet together.
Sure.
What did your mother ever talk about what some of the things they discussed?
I presume so, but I don't remember now what they were. I know that there were all these various sections, but I don't remember that there were more literature and languages and travels, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
I don't think there were so many issues there. Now, Friday morning, once in a while, would hit an issue, but they didn't do it very often. Mm-hmm. Theirs were more, they go there Friday morning and they have a lecture and they have lunch.
But it sounds like your mother had a network of friends or people.
Oh, yeah.
She wasn't isolated.
No. She never was isolated.
A group of friends and women.
Yeah.
And she went to Shakespeare plays.
Oh, and played. They played whist once in a while. I thought she was the most elegant thing I ever saw, and she'd get ready for whist.
How did your mother dress? What was
she
dressed?
She had these high collars up on her back. Now, this was before 1912.
Mm-hmm.
As I remember when I was just... But you see, my sister's 12 years younger than I am. And
you were born in
1896. But my sister was about, you know, 12 years younger than me. And so I was alone for a long time. And I can remember my mother getting me dressed up with long black skirts. And then they trailed on the ground with a hat, you know, around the top. I thought she put people in there. But she was really kind of an emancipated person for that day, I guess. She helped to organize the PTA.
This is prior, I
think. Yeah, with her. And then the mother got in on the kindergarten. See, I'm named for Mildred Obar, who was a friend of my mother's, and who was with Douglas Wiggins. Were the ones that started the kindergartens.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mother was always interested in it from that end, because then, when that was in Sacramento, Mother and Mildred Obar were friends in Sacramento. So then, Mildred Obar came down and was at the old Arnold School teaching teachers for kindergarten work. And I was finally asked to take the principalship of the school on Terminal Island, which was entirely Japanese. And I said if she would do that for 1 year, she could do anything she wanted to do. She stayed there till she died.
Mm-hmm.
And the Japanese people just loved her. They sent her to Japan. So it was all that kind of influence that influenced my mother.
Mm-hmm.
She helped to organize. She wanted sex education in schools.
Mm-hmm.
You see. And she didn't always like it the way it got presented, but she felt this was where it belonged.
That must have been a very radical thing.
Oh, yeah. She wasn't real popular sometimes about it. These were the kind of influences that my mother had.
What would the sex education in that day, what would be the things they would discuss? Would it be birth control? Or?
No, I don't think, I don't know. I think it was more biological.
Uh-huh. Just information about physiology.
Yeah. No, I don't think birth control was ever involved. I'm sure that never was mentioned at all. Yeah. But the way the youngsters were taught about birth, in other words, this was the thing that so concerned my mother, I think. Because it got, had a lot of ideas about a lot of things. This is to go down the territory, she can get that, right? And so she worked pretty hard. What they call it? I guess they call it parent education or something.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So they would be teaching parents or teaching children?
Sure. But more than that, trying to get board of education and what have you to really work for the same school. I don't think they got very far in those stages, but then they kept at it, and there were quite a lot of them.
Was your mother discouraged by it, or did she just keep
stepping
away?
No, she didn't, wasn't the kind of really got too discouraged by it. But as I say, I think with the attitude that my father had towards women, she really was much more emancipated than that, because he encouraged her to do these kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And although he never went to church, for instance, he'd always play Santa Claus to her primary class, she had a very large primary part of the primary church And she called on every one of those homes once a year. And when she couldn't find people home the daytime, she went at night. And she, when she went at night, my father took her.
So he was very supportive.
Extremely supportive.
He didn't hold her back and say,
no,
you belong in the home.
No. And the happiest time, I think, of his life, as far as his business life is concerned, was when she consented to come down and be in the office.
At the water company?
No, this is when he was in insurance.
Oh, he went to insurance?
Yeah, and
went to
insurance. And she came down and answered the telephone, and I don't know what else she did. And she did that for a long time. They went off together every morning. Most every morning, sometimes she would get on that later. But this just thrilled him no end, that she got tired of it.
She worked there for a while and helped him out.
Oh, yes, for several years.
How old were you at this time? You were a young teenager?
I was younger than that because this was before we moved out to the Highland Park area. It was before my sister. She didn't do that. She didn't do that until after that. After that, she just did that for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But, she preferred running her own show. She
helped out for a while, but then she came back and wanted to continue with her.
Things that she really wanted to do.
Do you remember any effect of the war at this time? Is this still in that?
No, you see now the First World War didn't come until after I was through high school.
Oh, okay, so we're moving ahead with that.
Tell me
a bit more then about this early time in the kind of neighborhood, the kind of friends,
the neighborhood
the people.
Was just a little... the neighborhood was just a neighborhood built of small residential, one-family homes. Everybody was a large lot, and kind of a cohesive neighborhood. Rather formal in many respects. They always knew that somebody new moved in. They were always called on, you know. And you left your calling cards, all this kind of business, you know. It was kind of formal. And still there was an informality about it, too.
Did neighbors know each other then?
Oh, yeah.
You knew who they'd done
it with? Oh, yes, you knew. Sure, when you lived up the block and you moved across the street from them. And your owners, there was... They didn't all do the same things, and the folks always had a group, neighborhood group, that would get together once in a while, play cards, and this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even minister lived in the neighborhood, and it was that kind of an influence. Everybody wanted the kind of the same things for their kids, you know. They worked together. You couldn't very well tell your mother you were going down to stay all night with Susie and not be there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that just didn't work. Knew each other. And most of your friends and your parents, my parents were acquainted.
Mm-hmm.
In the early stages, I went on to high school after.
Do you remember anything interesting about your house that you recall? Were there any?
Just the big fireplaces and the big, chairs and those kinds of things.
Was it a house that you remember with fondness, or
I think so. I don't think that we thought too much about it. This is
just the house,
you know, just there. Yeah. Everybody was always welcome. I think remember the backyards that were the most fun, the trees and all those things. And the big barn was across the back.
You had a barn in the back?
Yeah, most of the time just did because they had been built at the time when most everyone had their own horse. And we did for a long time.
You had your own horse?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
This was before cars?
It was before cars were prevalent at all. And not only that, we had the first, the first home telephone company. There was the Bell telephone company. Everybody has that. That would be And then the service was so terrible, lousy, because just my father, who would had two offices. He tried to get phone numbers and then he was busy, so he tried dialing or getting his own phone in the other office where he could watch it. And the operator said it's business. So when the other telephone company came in opposition to this, and in our home, and that was a dial phone, in our home we had the first time. Okay. Which was ordered along working.
This was in the early 1900s.
This was probably around 19. Let's see. That would have been before 1912. I don't know if it was before 19. Yeah, I imagine around 1908 or something like that.
That was exciting to have your own phone.
Oh, well, we had the other one, but you see, that one didn't work so good, but it was quite something to have this new one because they were at a premium, and Dad had signed up long before they came in. So
how did you use it? Did you call, people had phones? Or?
Oh, yeah, there were other people that had phones, but not so many.
Did you use it just for special purposes, or could you call
you? Oh, you see, my father and his business phones in the house phone. We could call anybody that had a telephone.
What, do you remember that as a really, you were excited to use the phone?
No, I don't think so, because I think it was, in my knowledge, there never had been a time, I'm sure there was a time when we didn't have a telephone. But by the time I wanted a telephone, there never was a time when we didn't have a telephone.
Right. Tell me more about that transportation then. How did you get around?
Oh, it was all public transportation. The red cars, mostly, and street cars.
This
and they were closed.
Uh-huh. Street cars in Los Angeles?
Yeah. Uh-huh. A good street car system. And from where we lived out there, we had two going into town. We could go just a couple of blocks to get one, and that was the one that went all the way out to Pasadena. And then there was another one that came out the red one. Within just a couple of blocks.
Sounds like a good system.
It was a good system. There weren't any difficulties.
Did you use the horse there much?
Dad used it for in his business.
He was an insurance.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But he didn't keep it at home very much. He kept it at a little estate at that time. Mm-hmm. And when he wanted it, they delivered it to his office. Mm-hmm. And he had it. So he went back and forth for a while.
He worked downtown then?
Oh, yes, his office was down. You know, the building now that they call, well, he had two offices down. But the building that they're restoring, the one that has the glass elevator in the middle, the Bradbury building.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he had offices in that building. And then he had offices in the building. So he had just two offices. But he always went back and forth. Sometimes he'd bring the horse home on the weekend if he wanted to go out to Glendale or something like that. I don't think he liked to take care of it very well. He preferred
somebody else taking care of it. He wasn't a farmer at heart. Then.
yeah, he was, really. But that was the detail.
That wasn't
really.
Let's go to you then. What? You probably started elementary school.
Oh yeah, in what? Kindergarten. One of these first ones that my mother
had.
And I went to elementary school. All my education was in elementary. And then I went to LA High, and then LA High had started the junior college system. So I went there for about a year before I went to college, I think it's kind of interesting that at that time there were just three high schools in the city. LA High was the college preparatory school. And they offered all of the languages, Greek and Latin,
offered to speak in a high school audience to be athletic. But this is what he did. And he had to, if you're at the LA, you had to take at least 2 years of Latin and 2 years of another language. Then there was polytechnic, which was more of a vocational. And then at that period, the third one started was manual arts. So there was only the three high schools.
Did girls and boys both go to high school?
Both sure.
And then
both
school. Was there any difference in educational quality?
No.
So all the children.
Mm-hmm. And they were all expected to. That is in the whole area where that I traveled with. They were all expected to finish high school. Whether they went on to college or not or something. So no one else. But of course, going to LA High, that was all college preparatory, so that most everybody that got out of there was on the way to college.
Even the girls were on the
way. Oh, yeah. Yes. Most of the girls were planning, that is, that I went with, were planning to be teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them. Now, that never entered in my mind. I never intended to be a teacher. So. That didn't take as far as I was concerned. But most of my friends, they didn't all teach, but that's what they were preparing for.
Mm-hmm. Were your parents, had they gone to school?
No.
They hadn't gone to school.
My mother went through high school, but my father didn't know in Iowa. He only went to school in wintertime.
Mm-hmm. When he wasn't working.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, he was really self-educated.
Mm-hmm.
There were lawyers in this town that offered their libraries to him. He was a lawyer. There was never any restrictions in our homes to what you read.
Were you encouraged to read?
Oh, yeah. No restrictions. Now there were some restrictions on where you went and who you went with, but there were never any restrictions. And my father was very difficult and volatile. So he had his copy of magazines and what have you. My mother had hers. Hers would be the more musical and the 18th and these kind of things.
Where did you fall in?
Oh, yeah, I got a smattering of both. I think I felt I had to do some of the things that my mother wanted. I didn't feel any compulsion. But you either read and kept up with Dad, or else you were out on a limb, you know. So it was always the New Republic, or the Nation, or whatever it was that preceded.
He kept with the periodicals, current events.
Oh, yes.
Was there a push for you to go to school then? Did they?
As far as my mother was concerned, yes. My mother wanted me to go to Occidental. My father didn't care where I went. And then we moved to the unusual, so I didn't. Then it was kind of special courses and I didn't know where I French for a while, and I just did
this. Is that the colleges
music.
There?
Yeah. Well, not only
high
colleges. Sometimes sort of community thing. Mm-hmm. For instance, when we got down there, South of San Diego, we had a drama group, and the parents of the cool young people that were interested in this got a drama coach. I think it cost us the whole sum of 25 cents a piece a night or something or other for it, they should have. But these were the kind of things. This is the kind of historical stuff to me.
And the drama.
Yeah.
What occasioned the move between LA and San Diego?
Oh, my father went to work for the Customs Service.
For the Customs Service. What is that?
Well, border, what we would now call border patrol.
So you left L.A. How old were you then? Out of high school? After L.A.
I was out of high school. I think I hit 1 year to
Oh, you met your husband down there in San Diego?
No, he was a native of Los Angeles, too. He went to high school together.
You met him up here in high school?
And then he went on to U.S. City, and we went down there, and then along came the war, and we went to France.
He enlisted.
He was drafted. He was almost through U.S. City. But he was in the research for a while. He was actually going down to his camp in the spring. And he was back on the high school on his way home for the first semester.
And you were engaged while he was gone?
Yeah. Well, we didn't plan to be married. And he got this call. And, well, he refused to get married. I didn't, but he did. Once that happened, then I went into nurses training.
You were still engaged.
Oh, yeah.
He was. He went on to. He finished at USC.
No, he didn't quite finish. He didn't. He had just a little bit. Oh, most of them picked up their degree because of the service. But he did. I didn't get it right. One more.
And you went into nurses training afterwards?
I went into nurses training at Catholic Hospital. There's where I met the first opposition from my father when I wanted to do something.
How was that?
He didn't like that. He didn't want me going into that kind of business.
Nurses training wasn't a good thing?
No, I didn't want to do that. Now, my mother just pushed and made my uniforms so that this is what you want to do. All right. But finally, one day, Dad and I just came about, and I said, now look, I'm going. If you wanted to do anything, or said, if I wanted to do this, and you were my age, you would have done it from hell or high water. I'm going. And that was all it was for. And I think he kind of saved faith a little bit. I said, no, he just, it was a good idea, as long as I was still in the Catholic Hospital.
Was it because he was worried for your safety, or he just didn't like nursing?
Well, I just didn't like the idea of his daughter waiting on men patients. This was the kind of thing he didn't like. It wasn't education. I don't think it was any of that. I don't think he cared anything.
He wanted to protect you.
And he says, there's so much volunteer work that needs to be done if you just... You know, there's plenty to keep you busy. Your mother's busy all the time. She's doing all these kind of things too. Of course, he wasn't very interested in the war. And with all his liberalism, he wasn't, well, in fact, he thought the war, I don't know how he stayed out of jail, because he was very vocal on his opposition.
Was he a pacifist?
I don't know. If he was a pacifist, he was a very militant pacifist. He never claimed to be a pacifist.
He just didn't like war.
But he didn't like to think that the things we were being told about what we were fighting for were true and so on and so forth. He was very much opposed to it. And he had helped to elect Wilson. So, had been a campaign manager. But he was very much opposed to it. And, we all arrived to Wilson. We didn't know how we kept him out. We had kept out of jail that time either because he was a very vocal in his opposition to us. But as far as my husband was concerned, when he went, Dad was very supportive
to the war.
Very supportive of him.
Mm-hmm.
The war,
he liked
him.
Yes.
He was very supportive of him. But he was civil and support that war if he could help him. And he left the customs, he left the government service at that time. He was pretty well set up. So it was, and he said, just thought, you know, there were lots of volunteer things. My mother was working for the Red Cross and doing all these kind of things. I could stay home and help her do that.
How did your future husband think about you going into nursing?
Oh, he was perfectly all right. Yeah.
He'd moved down to San Diego.
No,
he's still up here in L.A.
He's still in Los Angeles. And that as soon as we were married, we came back to Los